Well, I kind of forgot that the first Sunday of each month we generally do children's church, but I don't have anything prepared. But this is also for the children. We're all children of God, and I want us to think about it, that we are all here as children of God. And as you hear the message this morning, my prayer is that as parents, that you would be teaching the next generation, that you would be teaching the children. This morning, I'd like to look into a couple things. Well, first of all, I want to allude to. You can look these verses up a while, and it's in Haggai chapter 1, and that is in the Old Testament. But Haggai chapter 1 is where I want to go this morning. But that's one song we sang, and we call it a children's song. And it says, "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand." Then right after that, I believe, if I got it correctly in the script, I didn't even look it up this morning, but that is alluding to the fact where Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet don't do the things I command you?" Why do we call him Lord and then don't do what we command? If we call him Lord and we do what he asks us, we build our house on the rock. If we call him Lord and we don't do what he asks us, we build our house on the sand. That's what the foolish man did. He heard the Lord, but he refused to build to do the things that the Lord had commanded him. That really stood out to me this morning on that whole thing. And then my challenge again is that song, "I Will Rise When He Calls My Name." Will you? That's today. That's not sometime when we pass on. And I know we're there a lot of family here because of Martha's passing, but I want to talk to the living today. Listen, are we going to rise when he calls our name? Are we going to rise up to the call that God has on our life? Or do we want to just float along through life? So the challenge this morning, even through the whole message of Haggai chapter 1, is are we going to rise up to the challenge that God has before us today, especially coming into 2013? I want us to think about in 2012, as we closed another year, and the only people that even think about this is us that keep track of the calendar time, because to God it don't ever stop at this point. It's never ending. But we think about it because we closed the year of calendar 2012 and we open another calendar year of 2013. My challenge is if we continue to do the same things over and over and over and expect different results, it's called insanity. What did we do in 2012 that we say, you know what, that just didn't cut it? How can I arise in my spirit and connect greater, in a greater way with Jesus Christ for 2013? What would it take? What would it take inside of each one of us to do something different inside our hearts so we can connect in a greater way with Jesus Christ this year for 2013? Okay, looking at Haggai chapter 1. And this is a call to build the house of the Lord. And my challenge is, as we go through this, the temple that was laying in ruins over the time this was written, the temple that was laying in ruins in the Old Testament was a building or a place where God dwelt. That's where people needed to go to worship. They needed to come to the temple. But today, we are the temple of the living God, each one of us. So as we go through this, I want you to think about in your own personal life, you are the temple of the living God, individually, you, and then collectively as a church. But you yourself are the temple of the living God. So as it's talking about that, we need to look at it that way. Starting in verse 1, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, 'The time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built.'" Now, the Message Bible says it this way. Oh, I was going to go in and tell you all where I was at, but maybe we'll get into that later at another time. We just came back from Grenada, but we're already into the message. Let's go on. Okay, the Message Bible says this: "The people procrastinate. They say this isn't the right time to build my temple, the temple of God." The people were procrastinating. The temple laid in ruins. And the prophet, God spoke through the prophet to the people, and he says, "Why? The time has not yet come. Why are the people saying this?" Verse 3 says, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. 'Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruins?'" Or, "How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home or God's temple is in ruins. And I'm not saying that we're sitting in ruins. I want you to challenge yourself. What are we doing to build the temple of the living God right here? Or are we more concerned? We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Are we more concerned about what's going on around us? Oh, you know what? We have a president this year. You hear all the news stuff? Do you hear all the negative stuff out there? Are we concerned about that? Or are we more concerned about the temple of the living God? What are we going to focus on this year? Whatever you focus your spirit on in 2013, that you will become. That's where you're going to hit. Whatever you focus your spirit on, that's what you're going to drive for. So we're going to focus it on the destruction and the terrorists, the things that are going on all around us in the world, or on the things of the kingdom of heaven and building God's temple right here. What are we going to focus on this year in 2013? What's going to take our attention? What's going to take our every step? What are we going to do throughout the year of 2013 that's going to make a difference? Obviously, it didn't help the last 4 years to focus on all the negative, does it? I mean, I'm just saying, if we keep on doing some things that we've been doing, what's it going to gain us? I mean, what has it gained us up to 2012? I'm just asking a question. Now, I'm not asking this to be negative. I want you to ask yourself that. How much closer to the Lord have you grown? And what were you focusing on throughout 2012 that we can change for 2013? What would you like to focus on? How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your homes while the home or God's temple is in ruins? Now, verse 5 says, "Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways." Give careful thought to your ways. And I want us to really think about our ways inside. Give careful thought to our ways. He says, "You have planted much, but have harvested little." Or the Message Bible said, "You have spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it." We spend a lot of money, but not much to show for it. "You eat." This is verse 6. "Yeah, you eat, but never have enough. Or you keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. The people who work for you." Here's one that really jumped out at me. In verse 6 at the very end there, it says, "You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." You earn wages only to put it in a purse with holes in it. Let me ask you guys that have businesses, that have people working for you. That's what it's talking about. The people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much? Or is it a leaky, rusted out bucket? That's what. Is it a leaky, rusted out bucket? What are we teaching them? Do we have people working for us that we're actually speaking the life of Jesus Christ into them, or are they just simply there to make me money? This is what was happening back there in the Old Testament. And the house and the temple was laid in ruins, and people were more concerned about their finances and that they get sick, that they were well-to-do, that their health was there, that they were always well-to-do, but weren't caring about the temple of the living God that was laid in ruins at that time. Now, verse 7 says this, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house," God's temple. Build God's temple. I long that this year in 2013, everyone sitting here would focus so much on building God's temple that people would say, "What do them people have? What are they living? Why are they so excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Way more than the vehicle they drive or the house they live in. What would that look like in Abbeville County? What would that look like here?" If that would be the thing that people would say, "Wow, you mean," and maybe you gave it all away. Maybe there's just something. I'm just telling you, what is it that we could do different for 2013 that would make the temple of the living God rise up to where the glories of God would shine out in everything we're doing, not through the negative, but through positive, through good things? Then he says this in verse 8. He told him to go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house or God's temple so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. And that verse that Jerry spoke about right before I got up here I can't remember exactly what he said. Revelation, what was it? And what was it for? So glory and honor. Glory and honor belong to God. Glory and honor belong to God. He's telling them, build the temple so that I can receive pleasure or glory and honor to God's name. That's what gives God glory and honor, is when we build the temple and allow the glory of Jesus Christ to come out from inside. We need to be surrendered completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants two important things this year from each one of us this year of 2013. And the first one is to bring glory to His name. And the second is to honor His name. And we only do that when we are building the temple of the living God. What is it in your life that needs to go out with 2012 and come in with 2013? What is it that needs to be different? What is it that needs to be changed? What needs to go and what needs to come in? What can we do different for 2013? If we just do the same things, and if you weren't satisfied with 2012 and you don't change anything for 2013, you're going to get the same results at the end of 2013. Because nothing will change. If we do nothing, we get nothing, right? If we don't do anything, we get nothing. We get the same results we've always been getting. That's my challenge, is that for 2013, what is it that we want to say, you know what? The 2012, I didn't spend enough of time with my children. So if we don't change anything, what are we going to say at the end of 2013? I didn't spend enough of time with my children. So we keep on doing the same things, but we expect different results. It's called insanity. What is it that we can see that we can start focusing on and say, this needs to be different. Something needs to give. Something needs to change. Maybe you need to teach more. Maybe you need to preach more. Maybe you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Maybe it's something like that. You say, oh man, this year of 2012, you know, I wish I would have been able to tell that person about Jesus or that. Do it. If we don't do anything different, it's not going to happen in 2013 unless we get a different focus. Unless we get a different focus of our spirit on what we're going to focus on. Now, verse 9 says this. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. And I wonder sometimes, from one year to the next, do we expect a lot of things and it turns out to be little? Turns out to be just little. What you brought home, he says, I blew away. And he says, why? It's a question. Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house or my temple, which remained in ruins while each of you was busy with his own household. While each of you was busy with his own household, my temple remained in ruins, and it lay in ruins. And he says, so therefore you did a lot, but you brought in little. Nothing changed. Nothing was happening. Because we were so focused out here on everything that was going on around us, maybe the negative, maybe it was all the things that are going on in the media, maybe it's everything out here. And we failed to see what Jesus Christ wanted to do right in here, in the inner man. In the inner man, that we are so connected. That we are connected with Jesus Christ. That there brings life changes. That's where the ultimate is, where we can bring God glory to His name and honor to His name. Paul, we had Paul in the Sunday school lesson this morning. And somebody made a comment and said, we wish we'd be more like Paul. He didn't care if he was in prison. He still brought glory to God's name and honor to His name because the temple of the living God that he was, and God dwelt in there, and he made sure everybody knew it. That just came forth all the time, all the time. So it didn't matter whether he had anything or if he had everything, or if he was in prison or if he was a free man here in this world. He still brought glory to God's name and honor to His name. His circumstances did not affect that at all, and it don't have to affect ours either. Circumstance does not have to affect the spirit man inside here of how we're connecting with Jesus Christ and what's going out. Now, he says this in verse 10, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces of men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. The people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, verse 13, the Lord's messenger gave this message of the Lord to the people. And he says, I am with you. I am with you. He's right there with you, declares the Lord. And by doing that, when Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord's people, and then he says on top, after he said shared the message in the last several verses there, then he says, now he says, I am with you, declares the Lord. And here's what happened in verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. You see what I'm talking about? It's a spirit man inside, and he stirs this up because the people stopped worrying about everything that was going on out there and started building the temple of the living God. The temple of the living God. Who are we today? Are we alive? Are we allowing that spirit to be alive within us? It stirred it up. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. That's my challenge for 2013. Are we going to get together and individually, even our families, think about it. Will we stir up that spirit and allow it to connect that we are building the temple of the living God right here in each one of us, that is being challenged. The other thing is, will 2013 be a year of repentance and denial of self? Denial of self and repentance. One of the things I talk a lot about, probably, you guys probably heard it, but a lot of places I go, but repentance, so many times, is looked at as a negative thing. And it's a gift. It's a gift. Repentance is a gift. People that don't know Jesus Christ have nothing to repent from. What are they going to repent from? Listen, repentance is a gift. Maybe there's something we need to repent from last year and start all afresh this year. Repentance is a beautiful thing. When we choose to believe, we get the gift of faith. And if we choose to be honest, looking back on 2012, choose to be honest and then repent and say, okay, we're going to do something different in 2013. That's a gift to repent. Repentance is not a curse. I know there's a lot of churches that people have grown up in that repentance was known as a curse. No, it's a gift. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Repentance means more than just saying, Lord, I am wrong. It's way more than that. It's way more than just saying, Lord, I've been wrong. It also means, you're right. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right. That's repentance. Simply saying, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You're right. That is total repentance, because it's turning away from self and turning it back on the glories of heaven, turning it back on God, the one that knows all things. Repentance also means facing the truth about our sin or our selfishness. Our sin or our selfishness. It means turning away from that. The truth that it must end now. It is a crisis moment of truth. A place of recognition where you admit, I cannot continue in my sin and have the Holy Ghost living in me. I cannot continue living in my sin and have the Holy Ghost living in me. If I do, I will lose everything. Lord, you're right about sin bringing death upon me. I see that if I continue in it, it's going to destroy me and my family. God, I make no more excuses. That is repentance. That is what repentance is. It's a changed mind. It's a transformed mind. Saying, no, it's not about me and my selfish motives and wills, but it's saying, I repent. I turn that down. And I'm saying, Lord, I've been wrong, and you're right. Turning away from me, turning back to God. Simply put, repentance is a confrontation with our sin. The battle is fought before you get to the cross. It takes place as the Holy Spirit deals with you, and the same is true of self-denial. Now, in short, self-denial is a confrontation that says sin ends right now at this point. Now, sometimes we might say, well, what is sin? What is sin? We like to tag our sins, right? We like to tag them and figure out what they are. Sin, literally, is an agreement with the enemy of God. If somebody is agreeing with the enemy of God, it is sin. He tells that over and over in the scriptures. To be a friend of this world is enmity with God. That's sin. To be a friend of the world is enmity with God. That's agreeing with the enemy. That God's enemy. That's sin. And to renounce that is to say no to this and yes to Jesus Christ. That's repentance. That's self-denial. Contrary to what many times comfort preachers may say you have to bear. Oh, it's just, this is, my sin is just something I have to bear. No, it's not. No, Jesus Christ came for that very purpose, that we don't have to bear. And sometimes we think it's, well, You know, it's some infirmity of my flesh. It's just something I struggle with. Who said that? Jesus Christ came to make 100% set people free. Not just partial, not just a little bit, but everything. Everything. But it needs self-denial. It needs to be repentance and self-denial to be laid down at the foot of the cross. We can't waddle around and say, well, this is just what I have to live with because of some bad choices I made. Yeah, there is consequences. I'm not saying that. But the sin issue does not have to go on. That stops at the foot of the cross. That stops when you deny self and take up the cross and follow him. When Paul said, I die daily, he meant this. He meant simply that I have to deny that I can continue in sin and still have Christ's favor. That's why he said, I die daily. We can't continue in Christ's favor and continue in sin at the same time. It don't work both ways. He made a way. And for 2013, my challenge is, what is it that needs to be laid down? What is it that we can take up the cross of Jesus Christ and start walking forward in victory and in truth? In truth. I don't have a special exemption. He also meant this when he said, I die daily. I don't have a special exemption from God to hold on to a pet sin because I do good works. Well, if I do enough of good works, then God will overlook my sin, right? No. No. Nowhere does God say, the Bible don't say that. I agree with the Word of God. He's also saying this. I agree with the Word of God and I deny all my rights to continue in sin. And we have to think, we don't like that word sin. I mean, nobody really likes it. But it's as simple as looking at, what am I doing that is making an agreement with God's enemy? What am I doing that makes an agreement with God's enemy? We like to tag sin as just simply being the Ten Commandments, right? Well, if I don't steal, and if I don't commit adultery, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, then I'm okay. I'm good enough then. Then it's all okay. No. Let's think about it. What are we doing right here today that we make agreements with God's enemy, with the world system? What is it that we're doing in our lives that needs to be laid down and repented of? A glorious gift that God's given us that we can repent of and say, I'm going to change. This is going to be different for 2013. The glorious truth of the gospel is that if we die with Jesus, we also come into the glory of his resurrection and into newness of life. His cross is our cross. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection through our identification and union with him. That is the real cross that we bear with Christ. With Christ. The true meaning of the cross is that Jesus bled, died to bring our sin-sick souls into glorious liberty and freedom, to break every chain of sin that binds us. Every chain of sin. Maybe this year, instead of New Year resolutions, and maybe many of you made them, I wonder how many broke them already. Don't raise your hands. I just wonder, how many times do we make these New Year resolutions that are really, because I want to change myself. I want to change myself. What if we would just surrender ourselves and allow God to do the change? What if we would simply just surrender ourselves at the foot of the cross this year, 2013, and say, God, I'm wholly yours. Deny self and say, God, you change me. You. God is more concerned about your life changing that he can be glorified than what you are. So many times we want to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We want to bring the change on ourselves, right? All we get is broken bootstraps. Listen, what would it take to just stop everything and just say, Lord, I'm going to surrender. I'm just going to surrender at the foot of the cross. Doesn't mean roll over. It just simply means surrender and say, God, I'm just crying out to you this year for 2013. What is it that you want me to do different? You know what? Oftentimes we want to look at it. If we could just change other people, everything would be better, right? No. You can't change other people. Only God can. And only God can change you. So we need to surrender first at the foot of the cross, so that lasting change can come inside of us, so that God's temple is being built up, so that we can receive what God wants to do in us, so that the glorious gospel goes out and brings life change to other people through the glory that's shining inside of you. Not because of something that we can try and do or shift or move around. Okay, maybe this year, instead of New Year resolutions, which are often promises people cannot keep, maybe this is the year to simply surrender all of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every area. Not just some. Every area. All of it. To focus on the spirit man. Let me just explain it this way. When I talk about, we were talking about the temple in Haggai, and I want you to get the picture of what's going on when you think about the temple, of us being the temple of the living God. Yes, with this, I pray this year, 2013, will be a year of repentance and self-denial, a time of rebuilding and focusing on the temple of the living God. Here's the concept. Each one of us has three-part beings, and we're body, soul, and spirit. And in the very core of our being is our spirit that will live forever. And if you think about it, you all know the story in the New Testament where Jesus walked into the temple and what was going on? He saw all these money changers that were cheating and ripping people off and they weren't being honest at all. And he formed a whip and he drove them out. Let's look at this in the body, soul, and spirit. That was the temple where God resided. And I want you to think about it. There was a room called, I believe, the Holy of Holies. Who was allowed to go there? Who in the Bible times was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies? Anybody? Who was it? High priest. High priest. Who is our high priest today? Jesus Christ. He is the only one that is allowed to go in. I'll put the red dot back there, but you all didn't see it. I'll have to put it up here. No, it's not even there. They might not know how to do it. There we go. Right there. That in ourselves, as we are now the temple of the living God, our spirit being is the Holy of Holies, where only Jesus Christ, the high priest, can reside. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come in here and reside right here in our spirit. And then we have the inner courts and the outer courts. And this is where the things were taking place that were trying to destroy the temple of God. And that's why Jesus drove out the people that came to kill, steal, and destroy. Who comes today to kill, steal, and destroy? Satan. He attacks us from the outside in. He tries to attack us from the outside in. Jesus Christ resides right here when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. But out here, we get the enemy trying to come in and attack us in our outer courts and set up shop and trying to convince us of who we are right here. And Jesus is in here trying to say, no, no. I am the high priest, and he wants to communicate with us who we are from inside out and trying to tell us how we should think, feel, and how we should act on our body, how all these things should start to function. And the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, then he says, and the very God of peace, may he sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, Jesus Christ in here wants so bad to redeem not just this part, but also this and also this. That from the inner core of our most being, it starts changing how we think, feel, operate right here in our soul, and then what we do out here in the flesh. He wants to control all that from the inside out, but we have an enemy that tries to attack us from the outside in. What is it that we have made agreements with from the outside in, with the enemy all around us, that needs to be cast out? That needs to be pushed out for 2013 so that we can live fully for the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for each one this year as we walk on into 2013 is that we would take a look at what held us down. Jesus Christ said he has come to set the oppressed free. Those that are oppressed, they can be born again in the spirit, but they have an oppression on the outside because of agreements we make. It tends to hold us back. What are them oppressions that we can see in others that in ourselves that have held us down from truly serving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, everything about us? What are they? And take a good look at them and don't try and bury them. Don't try and hide them. Bring them to the light and say, Lord, I want to repent of this from 2012, and I want to live life afresh in 2013. He wants to clean you up. He wants to set us free. He wants to have that life come forward in each one of us. That's my prayer for everyone as we start a new year afresh coming into 2013. And I challenge you to take a good look at what you're going to do throughout 2013. What do you want to do? How can we bring God the most glory, and what are we going to do to bring honor and glory to his name? Let's stand for closing prayer. Lord, I thank you again this morning for your grace and your mercy and your love. And I thank you this morning that you care about every detail of every individual here and all over the world. And God, that you've made a way that we do not have to walk and struggle in sin. But you made a way that when we surrender ourselves at the foot of the cross, you want to clean us up. You want us to walk in the fullness of life that you intended. So, Father, today I just pray that as the heavens would open up and your glories would flow down upon everyone here, Father, that your spirit would so connect with each one of us, that it would stir within us just like it did back there in Haggai, that it would stir within us your spirit, that we will want to rebuild, or if there's anything that needs to be rebuilt in our temple, that you can reside there in peace and joy, and that your name would be honored and that your name would be glorified throughout this year of 2013. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.